This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, a tradition that started way back in 1979 when this great local radio station signed on. And we are really proceeding through this high school sports season as, of course, we've reached kind of the climax of the individual high school wrestling season. Good to see a number of local kids still alive today. We'll get into that momentarily. We'll kind of recap girls basketball. Talk a lot of boys basketball today with America's original March Madness tipping off on Monday night, including Mercer County taking on Alum. And we have a great guest coming up a little bit later in the program, talking about kind of the southern portion of the state where basketball is very good again this year, really good. We'll hear from Ron Weinmiller, head coach of Benton. But we start with wrestling. We have a kid from Orion, right, going for the state title today, Maddox Anderson at 190 pounds. And I know Eli Burns in the semifinals from Mercer County last night, but he was upended there. And I think maybe one of the big surprises in the individual state series is Jude Finch losing in the quarterfinals. And that's, what do they say, the agony and the beauty of postseason, because there are always upsets along the way in whatever sport we cover. And I know we had Jude Finch as a heavy favorite to win the state title, but battling his way through the Russellbacks and still probably get a medal today.
And that was his first loss of the season. Obviously, he was the 132-pound state champ last year, so he comes up short trying to repeat at 138 this year. But you probably could have took your coat off before we started the show, by the way. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, Maddox Anderson at 190 pounds for Orion. He won by a tech fall in the semifinal round last night. 19-2 was the score. So he'll go for the state title. He's 51-3 on the season against a kid from Marion Catholic. Jimmy Matsney is the name, I believe, who's 52-1. So good luck to him. And then there's three other kids from the track that are wrestling for state titles. Riverdale has two of them at 132 pounds. Dean Wainwright for Riverdale will wrestle against Garrett Verhecke of Unity Christian. And then at 157 pounds, the state title match tonight is two track kids, Briar Ivy of Newman against Blake Smith of Riverdale, which is pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm assuming maybe they've met during the regular season. You would think they would have in the track, and then potentially like at an event like the Princeton Invitational Tournament. But that conference always, you know, wrestling-wise, has always been able to get, you know, the talent that they have to the final night of wrestling and the Grand March. But great for Maddox Anderson. I know he's had such a great year and determined to get to this level. And at 190 pounds, coached by Mercer County grad Zach Nelson. And I think I read on the Orion School District Facebook page, they're starting today. I think 190 is the second weight class today in the state final lineup. So he'll wrestle just shortly after 7 o'clock tonight at the State Farm Center.
And then Mercer County's Eli Burns, I think you mentioned, lost his semifinal match at 165 pounds, but he's guaranteed a medal.
Yeah, congratulations to him. And he battled some injuries, I know, early in the wrestling season. And then they were concerned, I think, in the middle of the wrestling season with that injury. So good to see him medal and finish his high school wrestling season at a strong level.
Yeah, for sure. I know we had him on this week, and I know he was excited to be able to, you know, finish the season where, like you talked about there, he had battled with some knee injuries, I believe, throughout the year. And now he's good to go. And obviously he's had a very strong finish to the season, getting all the way to the semifinal round. And like I said a moment ago, he's guaranteed a medal. He's, I think, in the semifinal round of the WrestleBacks today. So at worst, he would finish sixth, I believe.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I posted bonus content on the WRMJ.com page. In an interview I did several years ago, when you talk about the individual state wrestling series, the guy's name is Jack Nichols, and I ran into him at some event, and he's from Savannah, which is now West Carroll School District, and he had a losing record during the regular season and struggled to make the varsity lineup, wrestling JV during much of the year, where he had a lot of losses at the JV level, and then lo and behold, in the state series, gets hot at the right time and goes all the way and wins the state title. And he finally got over 500. I think he finished like 19 and 18 that year, but was like the state title, state champion at 136 pounds. It's one of the most amazing IHSA individual state wrestling stories. Happened in the 1970s. Jack Nichols from Savannah. Interesting story that he tells it. Again, you can find that on demand at WRMJ.com.
Yeah, I think the state wrestling finals, it's always kind of a fun event. Like, I've never been down there myself, but everybody talks about how just the environment of it is really fun, especially like the night of the championship matches. Like tonight, I forget what time they said everything starts off.
I think the Grand March is at 6 o'clock,
but,
right?
Yeah, that's always, I know, a really cool kind of scene and everything. And obviously when you're going for a state championship, that's a big deal. So good luck to all those kids down there today wrapping up the season. Mm-hmm.
Again, Maddox Anderson at 190 pounds going for the state title. Girls basketball, at least our local teams that we cover, wrapped up this week. As you know, we always talk about when you have to play somebody two times, three times, potentially four times or whatever. And, you know, Monmouth, Roseville, and Sherrard had to play three times this year, and the Tigers swept the regular season series. But as they say, dug themselves too big of a hole, I guess, early, but got out of it and led late. But credit Monmouth Roseville, I think, scored the last 4 points of the game Thursday night over at Orion in a wild game. And Monmouth Roseville and Coach Scott Weber, who's done a nice job with that girls basketball program, they move on to the sectional, and they play the host Deer Creek Mackinac, who they have a very legitimate score on that team, I think, right? And then A-Town is alive in the LTC, and then Weathersfield is alive in the LTC, right? Could they
they
potentially
could
meet in the sectional
championship
title.
Game. And then Riverdale also won a girls basketball regional too with the legendary Jay Hatch. Congrats to them.
Yeah, I heard a snippet of his interview. He was on Matt Randazzo's podcast, and I thought it was funny. He's won 17 regional titles, is that right?
That's crazy.
And he said, what happened? I thought it was funny. He said something like, what happened in the other 13 seasons? Because he's coached like for 30 years.
Yeah.
So that's how coaches always think, I guess. But that's an impressive run by Coach Hatch and what he did at Allamitt and what he's done at Riverdale and the program they are. So good luck to those kind of quasi-local teams that are still alive.
Yeah, and then just for Sherrard, like you said, in that game Thursday, they got down 18-4, and I said this with Coach Swanson post-game, you just knew like that program wasn't just going to roll over and get rolled in the regional championship. They always battle back, and they did, like you said, took the lead a couple of times as early as in the third quarter, actually, because they were down 18-4 in the second, led by as many as four early in the fourth. The final 3 or 4 minutes of that game were kind of back and forth, though, with the teams just trading baskets, and Sherrard got up 41-40 with under a minute to go, but then Monmouth Roseville able to score the final 4 points of the game. So Sherrard finished the season 20-6 in girls basketball, and just like, I know we talked about this here like off the air this week, but Coach Swanson just is like the best to work with, and that is just such a first-class program, Sherrard girls basketball. They're just a joy to cover year in and year out. They're good every year. They're going to be good next year. I don't foresee a year soon where they're not going to be good, so They are, you know, just a, like I said, a class program, and it's always a lot of fun covering them in the winter. So congrats to Coach Swanson and those kids on a on another successful season, conference champions, and 20 plus wins again.
Oh yeah, and their program is a big part of the legacy of the station in high school sports. When I think about all the years, especially with the run that we've had with him since he's been the head coach, and I always reflect back. You know, we talk about some of the crushing things that can happen in a postseason. I still say the 1 year when Faith Anderson was a senior and was playing with the two Strang guards, they were loaded that year, and that's the year where Faith Anderson got hurt in the sectional semifinals, because I think they were positioned to play down at, well, Redbird Arena, or they call it.
Because they got to the super sectional that year, right?
I can't remember.
Yeah, they won the sectional, I think.
Yeah, and it's just like, those type of things, you just, you know, you always question why do things like that happen. And I look at girls basketball. Now, we know last year in 2A, Peoria Notre Dame was the heavy favorite to win it all. And, of course, they did. Are they the heavy? They have a lot of kids back. Are they the heavy favorite to repeat in 2A?
Them or Bree Central?
Bree Central is their number one, Bree Central, yeah, right?
I think Notre Dame probably is better, though. I mean, the schedule they've played has been off the charts. Peoria Notre Dame, and they're like 29-4 with it. And they've been dealing with some injuries. I believe like their top player is out for the season, but they've still just rolled everybody. So I would think they're the favorite in that sectional for sure, down at Deer Creek Mackinac. But yeah, it'll be interesting to follow. They're just such a good team. I think though, if they get back to state next year, they'll be bumped up to 3A.
And they still have the younger Wardlow. Is that their best?
Wardle.
Wardle, the Bradley coach's daughter. And they had a senior last year, because I remember when we talked, we had their coach on the air, and they said they had four or five Division I caliber players in their lineup. So, yeah, that, of course, in that Peoria Notre Dame, they're in the sectional complex with Monmouth Roseville at Deer Creek Mackinac.
And then just one other thing about Sherrard, like you talked about the run they've been on. So it's been in girls basketball with Coach Swanson there. This is his 15th season, but that's 14 postseason runs, because the one COVID year there wasn't a postseason, of course. So in those 14 postseasons with him, you know, leading the program, they've played for regional championship games, or played in regional championship games 13 of those 14 seasons, and have won 10. I mean, that's just crazy, a crazy success rate for them. And it's always, you know, successful regular seasons too, where it's not just like they're going on these random, you know, couple of wins in the postseason after mediocre years. No, they're really good year in and year out. And like I said earlier, just a lot of fun to cover them again this season, and looking forward to next year too.
Well, and you call it a program, and you talk about the complete definition of a program with what they have been doing in girls basketball at Sherrard, because you look at what they've done at their youth levels, and you look at two coaches at the junior high level that have been there forever. Now, I know, I think they're both stepping away, Coach Chandler and Heath Smith.
The legendary Heath Smith.
Well, yeah. And to have the continuity of people to be that engaged in it, in participating in the program, and doing what the head coach wants to do with the program, that tells you why that type of program is successful like that. And, you know, wash, rinse, repeat. So that's the true definition of a program with what they've done over there with girls basketball. And and you said it early, you know, Coach Swanson, win or lose, and they've lost some crushing games in the postseason. He's always accountable post game. Don't have to worry about that. He's always there. He's one of the great guys to work with in that 15-year run, that's for sure.
Yep, and like the families of those kids too are awesome with the Sherrard girls program. So it's sad that the season came to an end, but like I said, I had a lot of fun covering them, you know, this year, and look forward to next season for the Tigers. So we're done with girls basketball.
Well, I just want to say,
now, in terms of play-by-play coverage, because all of our local teams now have been eliminated from the postseason.
Well, because I thought the great story, that's why I was hoping they would have won Thursday night, because I thought the great story, his kid hit two big threes in that game, and I thought, man, that's gonna get him over the top, and they're gonna win this thing. But like I said, that's the way high school sports work. But it was a great game and a wild finish, that's for sure.
All right, we don't think we have anything else to talk about with girls. So boys basketball, this is not a Glenn Cook tribute show today, because he's not dying. He just stepped down from the PA role last night after 51 years. I'm kidding, of course, but Coach Cook is awesome. Like, it was really cool last night to kind of see, and we'll talk more about, like, actual boys basketball in a moment, but I think we need to recognize his contributions to not just, like, Rock Ridge Athletics or the Rock Ridge School District, but just high school sports and interscholastic athletics in the area. I mean,
oh, 100%.
I was talking last night with some people how weird it'll sound next year over there, you know, at football games and basketball games, not hearing his voice over the PA. And he just is so synonymous with, like, Rock Ridge, and he's just, you know, such a great person that you never hear anybody say a bad word about Coach Cook. And I was talking with him quite a bit last night, and I just, like, almost view him as, like, he's a member of my family. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way about him too, with just the warmness you feel when you get to interact with him. And he has all these crazy stories, and it's just going to be, like I said, really strange with him not doing the PA next year. But they had a great ceremony for him. Amy Degelman, she did the senior night introductions, and she said a couple of nice words about Coach Cook. The officiating crew last night, Joe Thompson and Brett Brewington and Steve Spivey, presented Coach Cook with a gift, and Joe Thompson said some words over the mic, and then Coach Harris had a couple of nice things to say before the game on the microphone too. So it was a really nice event for Coach Cook, and senior night last night for Rock Ridge. We'll talk more about that in a moment, but, and Coach Cook, he's been awesome, you know, at the station working with us and everything, and so congrats to him on his retirement.
They should have had Coach Breeden come over and say, if you were,
where that game still wouldn't have started yet.
Well, and I think about kind of the exception versus the rule. So Glenn Cook is the exception. So if you look at 51 years, so if you're talking about 51 years, if you go from today, right, to 51 years ahead, it'd be 2075.
I know it.
So I'm going to say in the next 51 years, how many people do you think will be PA announcers at Rock Ridge?
Yeah, a lot more than one, that's for sure.
Well, and that's what I say is, you know, and I saw, you know, all the coverage on him on WHBF, WQAD, CNN, Fox, ESPN 1, 2, 3, and 4. No, but I'm just saying, I like his delivery, because he's always the first guy, and he said it, I loved it. He says, I've made a bunch of mistakes, and he owns up to it, you know, and he always does it. He does it for one reason and one reason only. And sometimes we need to remember that we need to default what we're doing this for. It's about the kids that are playing on the floor. That's it. Nothing
and the
else.
Kids that are, you know, the cheerleaders, yeah, and the dance it's, team, and the kids in the student section, yeah, and the band. That's
it. Ain't
about
no more than that.
Yes, exactly.
Right, and that brings joy to his life, and that's why he's there. And I he said, I've said some stupid things before one of the interviews, but yeah, I just, yeah, great way to honor him. And it is, it's going to be, especially for the Rock Ridge community, it's going to be so strange to go over there. Now, I hope he still goes to some games, and I think he probably will. And I thought it was nice. They had his daughter, I can't remember if it was on 4 or 8. They had some audio from her talking to her last night, because she was there. And I just thought that was great too, because she's a great person too, to be around her and get to know Glenn's family a little bit is awesome. Cause you know it. So the stories I love when you're traveling with him, you know, his daughter will call him or somebody will call him. And it's just like one of these like wild conversations you're listening to. So, the car rides, with him have always been.
I know.
Awesome.
Coach Henry, his favorite story that Coach Cook has ever told, which he hadn't heard it until we had him and Bill Breeden on for Sports Lion over the Christmas holiday, was when Coach Cook was like 7 years old and he thought if he had a Superman hoodie on, he'd be able to fly. So he jumped off his garage and landed on the grass and knocked the wind out of himself. That was really funny. But yeah, I mean, with Coach Cook, like what I know about him is that he loves Rock Ridge. He loves high school sports and he loves interscholastic athletics and he loves the kids. So it's like, if that is, you know, what you're doing it for, you should always have a seat at whatever table it is. And he'll be missed for sure, when it comes to just the, you know, atmosphere of at Rock Ridge. You always know you're going to see Glenn Cook. And to me, or I should at least say for me, when I know I'm going to see Glenn Cook, I know my day is going to be better than it was if I didn't see him. So hopefully he still goes to everything and we get to talk to him a lot. But yeah, a great career, obviously. You never hear anybody say a bad word about Coach Cook. So and very high class done by Rockridge last night honoring him, that, like they should have, for 51, you know, years of dedicated service to the district. Because I don't know, a lot of people don't know this, but I mean, he for a long time also did the football field, like the lines with it
forever.
And everything. So yeah, he's done a lot for the district. So thank you, Coach Cook.
Yeah. And I love, this is the last thing I'll say, because it was like the ninth Glenn Cook in the 51 years they had there now. But yeah. I like how in some of the interviews he does, he's like, do I need to stop or am I going too long? And everybody says, no, I'll keep going, you know. So
and I say, yes, you're going way too long.
Yeah. No, you want to hear this.
I'm kidding.
All right, so we have a great guest coming on to talk boys basketball in the southern portion of the state as we get ready for regional play Monday night, and we'll have Mercer County and Alleman from Mercer County. That's considered a play-in game. Mercer County, though, a higher seed.
Well, quarterfinal.
Yeah.
Quarterfinal is what it's called.
Yeah, but they play you're playing those quarterfinal games at the higher seed.
Yes.
In Mercer County, a higher seed, so it's basically a true regional format for them because they're hosting, and they'll play Alleman. And you said that's a 6 o'clock start.
Yes.
On Monday night, and then Monmouth Roseville at home Monday night, which these are two intriguing games really in the Mercer County regional. Monmouth Roseville picked up a nice win last night over Macomb. And the Titans are hosting the Kewaunee Boilermakers on Monday night. So the Mirko Alleman winner, they'll get the Orion Chargers in the second game Wednesday night at 7:30. And then Sherrard will play the Monmouth Roseville Kewaunee victor. So those semifinal games kind of could be intriguing too,
yeah.
Wednesday night
now,
at Mirko.
The way I look at this regional is that the big wild card is obviously if Kyler Owens is playing or not for Orion. So if people haven't been following, and if you maybe don't follow closely till the postseason, Kyler Owens is one of the best players in the area, maybe the best scorer. I mean, you could argue one way or the other. There are a couple of really good scorers, obviously, but he's really a high-level player, a junior for Orion. He's scored over 1,000 points for his career already. He's missed the past 3 or so weeks dealing with an injury, a stress fracture to his right foot. And, like, if you want to hear his numbers this season, he averages 21 points and 6 rebounds per game. He's an electric guard. And if he plays, Orion is really, really good. I mean, they have beat Sherrard. They're one of Sherrard's 3 losses on the season. They split with them in the regular season. Without him, they're still a solid team, but he, of course, takes them to another level. If he is out, let's just say, because I think it's up in the air. I heard has one more doctor's appointment to see if he can get cleared or not. I don't remember if it was, you know, either yesterday or on Monday. They don't play till Wednesday. They get a bye for the quarterfinal round. If he doesn't play, I mean, I would think Sherrard's a favorite in that regional anyway, in my opinion. But if Owens doesn't play, I would say they're a pretty heavy favorite in the regional. I hope that Owens does play, because I've said this a couple weeks ago too, with the season that Orion has had, they and the team they have, they deserve to be at full strength in the postseason, because like I think that regional title game, Sherrard versus Orion with both teams at full strength is what it likely would be. That would be just a terrific game in Aledo with a terrific atmosphere. So hopefully he's good to go. If not, I mean, that makes the semifinal game a lot more interesting. I think, like I said, it's not like Orion is terrible without him. They're still a solid team where you can't just walk on the floor and beat them. Like, let's say if Mercer County were to get past Alleman, Orion probably is still a little deeper than Mercer County and, you know, more skilled offensively even without Owens. But that's a much more evenly matched game if Owens doesn't play with the matchup with Mercer County, if Mercer County gets past Alleman.
Yeah, and I think
And Sherrard has played competitive games this season with Monmouth, Roseville, and Kewaunee, so I'm not saying that they're just going to steamroll everybody, because that's never how it goes in the postseason. But Sherrard has really been playing well down the stretch. I was really impressed with what they did Thursday. In their regular season finale, they played the Dixon team, who's had a really strong year, and just rolled them, beat them by 15, but were up by more than 20 in the second half. So, and then we talked about this leading into last week, but two really cool milestones for Ryland Carton this week. He scored his 1,000th career point on Tuesday night at Mercer County, and then Thursday against Dixon, he had 17, which broke the single season scoring record for Sherrard. He scored 590 points this season, that broke I believe it was Tyson McCright's record in 2007 at 576. So congratulations to Ryland, who is just a joy to watch play the game of basketball.
Well, and I think the other thing that's a great story about him is he wasn't one of those kids where you say, oh, here's an all-stater when he's a sophomore.
No.
You know, he's a kid that has developed his game and has kind of grown into his body where he's worked to become a great, skilled basketball
Coach
player.
Coach Johnson said he scored 50 varsity points his sophomore year. So, I mean, that's the type of two seasons he's had because, like Coach Johnson said, a lot of 1,000-point scorers are kids who play for 4 years or for 3 years. And, I mean, if you play for 4 years, you're probably going to score 1,000 points, right? But with him, I mean, that's been a really impressive, you know, growth to watch because he is – just a tremendous player. I mean, he really is. And I've told people this throughout the year. He's one of those kids locally that, in my opinion, if you have not seen him play yet this year, you should, you know, come to Aledo. If you live in Aledo or live in the Mercer County School District, Sherrard will be here for the regional this week. And they play Wednesday at 6. And if they win, then they would play in the championship game Friday night at 7. He's a kid that I think is worth it to make a trip and come out and watch play. And Kyler Owens is one of those kids, too, which is why I hope he plays, too. There are going to be a lot of very good individual players here for the regional this week. But Ryland Carton, I say it all the time, he should be a first-team All-Stater this year. I know Sherrard hasn't had one of those in a while. He's a kid that's worth it. He's worth the price of admission, which I think is like $6 for the regional. So you'll get your money's worth coming to watch him play.
Oh, well, and the other thing too, now when you look at the regional, cause I'm always one of those guys over the years where, and you mentioned, I think a huge win for Sherrard Thursday night is they beat a very good Dixon team to finish the regular season. But the only thing that you play for the top seed, Tigers deservedly get the top seed, but and I know some coaches, danged if you do, danged if you don't, but you're off 6 days, right? And then you're playing a team that is going to get a game Monday night on that floor. And the one thing that concerns me a little bit from a Sherrard
is not, you said this last week and you were wrong and you did it again. Monmouth, Roseville, and Keymine do not play on
no,
the Mercer County.
That's floor. Right. You're right. Yeah. Sorry about that. But it's still not playing for six days. And then what it really concerned me last night with Monmouth, Roseville getting a nice win at the end of the regular season, beating Macomb. And then,
yeah, that's a huge win for them. Massive.
And then playing another fairly competitive team in Kewaunee. Now that's a toss-up game.
Yeah.
And then coached by a guy that's coached for 30 plus years that has had great success in postseason.
It's a good regional. It really is.
That's a great way to open up, postseason play. So the route is never easy. As they say, and that's a tough route right off the bat for Sherrard to play a team like if Monmouth Roseville wins, coached by a Hall of Fame coach in Chuck Grant. And then, like you said, I hope Kyler Owens can play because he's a talent and you want to see a kid like that get a play, in the postseason.
Yeah.
And then he's one of those kids, I know we've been watching him play last year. You know, he's one of those kids that can make unmakeable shots.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they're so dangerous when you play a team like that, because once he gets across the, you know, timeline, it's like, what's he gonna do, and where's he gonna let it go from?
Yeah.
You know, can he get to the rim, or can he throw one up from 23 and it goes in? So that's gonna be, I tell you, a fun week of basketball. Speaking from a hometown standpoint, Mercer County Allemans should be a great matchup Monday night, and then the two semifinal games Wednesday in Aledo should be great matchups, and then of course the regional championship game on Friday night. So it'll be a fun week of basketball here in town.
There will be great crowds and not enough parking probably at Mercer County High School, but that's okay. There's never enough parking there for anything.
No.
Not even for school.
At least,
when I was in school.
And that's the way it should be.
Right.
You should have to battle for, you shouldn't complain about parking.
No, I know, I'm just kidding.
I know, but there will be, of course. Yeah, if people complain about parking in downtown Aledo with different events that go on once a year.
I'm one of them, yeah.
All right, so Dale Jones is conducting an inspection day for the Jason and Beth Flickinger Machinery Auction today from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. just a short distance south of Buffalo Prairie.
Right.
We have great listeners there. That online auction closes Monday, March the 3rd, Dale Jones Auctioneer Studio in downtown
Toledo. The title
Toledo.
Sponsor of this great
That's right.
Program.
I love it, man. And he's pumped up, too, for a full day of programming because Cardinal baseball in the noon hour today, exhibition baseball then. The Illini are going to turn the page and say we're going to be Duke at the Garden tonight. So then the Rock, you want to talk a little bit about Rock Ridge Senior Night. They go out with a win. They're getting ready for postseason play. What do you get from the feel from the Rockets heading into postseason play with that talented senior bunch that they celebrated last
night? Well, I mean, it's just like, and I know they've had some maybe strange losses this year, but this time of the year, I would never bet against those kids. I mean, they've been through it and been through it and been through it. They've won a lot of games. Last night, I talked with Coach Harris postgame, and I gave him the stat that the last 4 years of Rock Ridge basketball, these kids in the program, the varsity level, they're 102-31. That's their record the past four seasons with they've won, you know, regional championships all 3 years. They've won, or they've been to the Sweet 16 round all 3 years. They've been to state twice, two fourth place finishes. They've just been, you know, an outstanding group of kids to cover and watch and enjoy, you know, being around. They, you know, led from wire to wire last night, really were never challenged by IVC. It didn't feel like 66-47. So they finish up the season. Rock Ridge just 21-10. They win 21 games playing, you know, the most challenging 2A schedule in the state by basically every metric. I think they're ready to go in the postseason. I mean, like I said, I would never bet against Landon Bull and Landon Wheatley and Caleb Kunico in the postseason because they just come through time after time after time. So they'll have a tough road, especially if they see McComb on the Bombers' home floor in the regional championship game next Friday. The stat of McComb I've seen is they haven't lost at home all season. Now, what's their strength of schedule like all year? Not great when in terms of, you know, the league they play in. But still, that's a statistic that, you know, worries you a little bit. And, of course, McComb beat Rock Ridge in the sectional title game last year. The two teams split the meetings last year with Rock Ridge beating them in the championship of McComb Western Holiday Tournament last season. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's likely that Rock Ridge, I mean, I don't think Rock Ridge will have any issue with Farmington, who will, you know, thump Knoxville on Monday. But and then McComb and Canton's kind of interesting. I think McComb should win that game, though, to set up a pretty fun matchup Friday, I hope, between Rock Ridge and McComb at the Hangar. That would be quite an atmosphere, I think.
Yeah, and McComb and Canton, did they play just a week ago or a couple weeks ago, and it was fairly competitive.
Yeah, it was a competitive game.
Won by the Bombers, but, you know, we just don't see Canton a lot other than maybe a sample size at the McComb Western Holiday Tournament. But I like the initial seed with Rock Ridge playing either Knoxville or Farmington. Like you said, Farmington should win that game. So the Rockets would play the 6 o'clock
game. They will game, win the game, yeah.
6 o'clock game on Wednesday night down at the Hangar. And it's just a five-team regional there. And then McComb and Canton play the second game in the championship Friday night, of course, at 7 o'clock. So.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun time of the year. I mean, there should be some fun games, I think, even in the semifinal round for us this week. And then championship games for the region are always fun. Last year is the first time ever we had two regional championship games on simultaneously. And hopefully we get to do that again this year for the second time.
Well,
and hopefully for the first time ever we have two local teams in the sectional. That'd be pretty fun. And it's hosted at Sherrard.
And playing for the title to get to the
that would be, that would be
super
awesome.
Sectional game at the Bank of Springfield Center. But then the two other regionals that feed into the Sherrard sectional opening up Monday night, you know, the El Paso Gridley regional pretty stacked. Bloomington Central Catholic, they're playing a quarterfinal game hosting Eureka, who's had decent success. Then IVC, you saw them play last night. They'll play Normal U-High. So you see a couple of the schools like Central Catholic and Normal U-High who have pretty good regular season pedigree schedules playing the quarterfinal games. And then you had a chance to see El Paso Gridley play down at Riverton. They're the top seed at the El Paso Gridley regional playing on their home floor. They'll meet the Central Catholic Eureka winner. Then down Stry Valley out of the heart of Illinois Conference, they meet the IVC U-High winner. And then at the Tremont Regional, 9-seed Clinton at home hosting Deer Creek Mackinac Monday night. 7-seed Peoria Notre Dame battling injuries all season long. They're kind of scary. Again, they play a tough regular season schedule. They're hosting Olympia. And then Manuel, probably the favorite in the sectional complex. They'll meet the Clinton DMAC winner. And then Tremont, a 4-seed playing on their home floor in that subsectional. They're playing the winner of Notre Dame Olympia. And then, of course, the championship game Friday night. And the How are the matchups then for the sectional semifinals?
The Mirco regional winner plays the El Paso Gridley regional winner, and then the Macomb regional winner would play the Tremont regional winner. So this is who I think is going to win these regionals. So for you know, just the sake of seeing what the matchups would be. So I'll say Sherrard wins in Aledo. I'll say Rock Ridge wins in Macomb. I think Manuel wins at Tremont, and I am going to go, oh man, the El Paso Gridley regional is really tough. There's like four teams that can win that. El Paso, Gridley, Tri-Valley, U-High, and Central Catholic. I'll go with Tri-Valley winning that one. So that if that were to happen, it would be Sherrard versus Tri-Valley, Rockridge versus Manuel in the semifinal round.
I like it.
Yeah. But like I said, with El Paso, Gridley, I feel like that's the most wide open in terms of how many different teams I could, you know, see potentially winning it with four U-High, Central Catholic, El Paso, Gridley, and Tri-Valley.
I'm going with the El Paso Gridley regional. Now, I'm all in. I'm going with the top seeds. I think Sherrard's going to get through Mercer County. I think the Rockets are going to get through Macomb. I don't want any assistant football coaches spiking the ball on me when I walk off the field like I did in
Farmington
football.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go El Paso Gridley regional, the non-boundary schools playing for the regional championship, Bloomington Central Catholic and Normal U-High playing a full week of basketball. And I'm going with Normal U-High out of the El Paso Gridley regional. And I say Manuel heavily out of the Tremont regional. And I think they're going to be the tough out because I think they're on a mission this year after what happened to them last year.
Yeah, they've lost a lot of really close games this year. They play, though, a very challenging schedule with a lot of, you know, bigger schools, of course. But, yeah, I think they're a pretty heavy favorite. It would be interesting, though, because I think Notre Dame will beat Tremont in the semifinal round there. So I think it'll be Manuel versus Notre Dame for the championship, in my opinion.
That'll be a crazy game in Tremont, Illinois, then, won't it? Man.
Yeah, that would be pretty weird, so...
Yeah, it's going to be, like I said, and then feeding into the sectional at Sherrard, just going to be so exciting with whatever the four teams are they're playing.
Yeah, it's going to be four really good teams, two great semifinal games, and a great championship game to get to the Bank of Springfield Center. Like I said, I really hope that we have two local schools there because that's never happened, and it would be really fun, especially with it being local. Like, there's kind of a perfect storm for it, just hopefully everything is able to kind of go to plan this week and there isn't some weird, you know, winner of those regionals, but
yeah, and I love the Bank of Springfield Center is more of a smaller arena setting, which is perfect for.
I still preferred Sterling.
Yeah, I do too, and yeah, we've talked about that, and then even I thought the sectional complex, even though there was travel, I think the Ingersoll Gym in Canton is such a great building to play basketball at. But I'll take, you know, playing here locally at Sherrard this year and getting the sectional back in the area.
And that's a great, beautiful gym, beautiful venue, awesome. Sherrard has great facilities, of course, as we know, and that's a perfect sectional host. I think a lot of seating in that gym. It'll be big crowds no matter who's there. That'll be a really fun week beginning. It's basically the week after this one for the sectional.
And I think, too, though, this week or next week, Mercer County should be a great venue for the semifinals where you have the two games on Wednesday night with Sherrard against Kewaunee or Monmouth-Roseville and then Orion against Mercer County.
They need to let the Sherrard students sit in the front row.
Well, especially if Monmouth-Roseville wins, you know, especially with them coming over, you know, that's such a short trip for them. And then if you would have, you know, if Mercer County is fortunate enough to get through all of them and then you have the Orion-Mirco matchup, that'll be a
huge crowds, man. That's how it's weird how it works when like the schools that are local and have history with each other, people come to those games. It's strange how that works.
And I was going to ask you, and we'll segue in here to, our guest that we have today, a good guest, talking some hoops in the southern portion of the state where there are so many good teams this year. And if you're a basketball junkie, some really good stories too. But what did you think really? So we're two-thirds through the school year in terms of regular seasons, right? So the sample size of the track with what we've experienced from being the rookies in the league, and I'm speaking purely as a Mercer County School District resident. What have you thought?
Talking about Mercer County.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. We're not with the
school
district.
Well, you're a graduate.
I know, but I'm not with the school district anymore, so I try not to say
you,
we.
You've done PA, and you host, and you were the MC for the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You can't be more Mercer County than that.
But Mercer, what's your question?
What have you thought of the first two-thirds of the high school sports season with Mercer County being in the track, I guess?
My opinion will never change that Mercer County, this is the conference they should have always been in. The last 19 years, they really missed out on, you know, like I said on our broadcast Tuesday, I'm like, it was kind of funny because the Shore students, like I said, had to sit in the third row. I've never seen that happen before. But, I mean, I said on our broadcast, like, it's probably been 19 years since a conference opponent brought a student section to a boys basketball game. I mean, I can't think of one time in the Lincoln Trail where that ever happened. And I went to a lot of games growing up. I played in games in the Lincoln Trail at Mercer County. And I said on the broadcast, there's 25 people in the visiting stands every night. And, you know, seeing, you know, the crowds for the football season, the basketball season, I mean, that's what it is. And while the, you know, maybe regular season conference standing success hasn't been there yet, it's just 1 year. They'll be more ready for postseason play in every sport now than they were in the Lincoln Trail. There's no doubt about that in my mind. And just, you know, Mercer County should be with Rock Ridge, Sherrard, Horry, and Monmouth Roseville. It just, there's no argument the other way for me. So it's the right fit, and it's been a lot of fun, I think. I mean, just the people I've heard from, you know, just like, I can't believe the crowds we get at some of these games now with, you know, playing. Obviously, there's, you know, better competition. There's no question about that. But there's more, you know, history with the schools. You know these people from these other schools, too. And it just is fun. And, like, talking with some, you know, basketball coaches in the conference, like, those conference games this year have been just tremendous. I mean, just outstanding games every night in that league. And the Friday night conference games, I think, add so much of, you know, to the atmosphere. And just when you know night in and night out, you have to play really well to win no matter who you are, whether you're Sherrard in the top 10 team in the state. You know, they got tested by Monmouth Roseville, who finished last in the conference in the, you know, last month of the season, where, you know, for Mercer County, like, speaking about the Lincoln Trail, you don't get that. I mean, most of those teams, you know, and this isn't any disrespect, but just with the enrollment differential that Mercer County has, I mean, we talked about this last year too, like, there are a lot of teams, most teams they play, they're triple the enrollment of, you know, double or triple, you know, and somewhere between there. And it just, there's not the history, there's not the competitiveness, and, you know, now there is all of that stuff, and, like, it means something to beat Rock Ridge, right? When they beat Rock Ridge, that was, in my opinion, the biggest win in that program's history in terms of the consolidated school district. And they've won, you know, like, they beat Princeville for a Lincoln Trail Conference championship. But, I mean, do people care if you beat Princeville? Not really, I don't think. Do people care if you beat Rock Ridge? Yes. And I think that, to me, those games have way more, infinitely more meaning playing Sherrard and Rock Ridge. Because always, of course, before, those were the games that meant the most on the schedule anyway, even when they weren't conference games. Those were the games with the biggest crowd. So I will forever, forever, forever say Mercer County is a track member forever and should never leave and should never, ever, 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 ever be apart from Rock Ridge, Sherrard, Monmouth, Roseville, or Orion ever again.
Well, I agree. I'll say amen to that after that preach here.
Because I've never heard an argument on the other side that I thought was valid in any way, to be honest with you. I just never understood the other side of it.
And you say that about Sherrard, Monmouth, Roseville, Rock Ridge, and Orion. Well, we have always been with them, and it's called the Prairie Land Junior High Conference,
right.
And that's always been a perfect fit. So you're speaking from, like, a Mercer, we're speaking from, you know, Mercer County, because they're the newcomer in the league. But I will also turn that around and say, I think Sherrard, Monmouth, Roseville, Rock Ridge, and Orion, when I've had my conversations with those people, they're happy
that
Mercer County is part of the league because they believe they're a true fit, and they add something great to this conference
and
with this school and with the fan following and the fan base.
They bring good road crowds too. Yeah, of course, everybody wants it. I mean, everybody is unanimous, right? Everybody wanted it. So, you know, it takes more to win. But it also means more to win now, too.
Yeah, and I would agree with all of that assessment, and I think it's been a perfect fit from both sides, from a Mercer County standpoint going in, and then the other track schools saying, hey, this is a perfect fit for us, too. We're glad that they're in this league. So that's through two-thirds of the season.
And just, like, speaking as a Mercer County grad, like, I know when I was in school, I always said the same thing, and, like, my friends talked about it. It's like, this sucks that we don't play Rock Ridge and Sherrard and Monmouth. Like, it just isn't as fun. You know, like, I know for me and speaking kids my age and younger than me and older than me, like, we always talked in basketball, like, the games we were most excited for were always when we got to play Rock Ridge and Sherrard. And, like, there were 2 years in when I was in school that for some reason we did not play Sherrard and boys basketball, not even a non-conference game, and it made no sense at all at the time. So, you know.
Because, yeah, that's the nine-week Lincoln Trail Conference tournament schedule back then.
We get 20 games against those schools. But the other thing, too, like, when I was in school in football, we had one game ever against a track opponent when I was in school, and it was the most memorable game that the program's ever played when we played Rock Ridge in the second round of the playoffs my sophomore year. I mean, biggest football crowd probably ever at a game at Mercer County, and just a tremendous game against the local rival, right?
Yeah, and then Newman also out of the track.
Yes. So. But I guess I should have worded it like local, yeah, you know, rival. So,
yep, no question.
I know,
about
like,
it.
They would try to manufacture this football rivalry with Stark County because they had good teams, and they were good, but there was no, I mean, it was just a game against two teams that were pretty good. It wasn't like any added, you know, meaning to it other than that.
Yep. All right, so you want to talk a little bit about our guest today? Got a
Let's
good
do
guest.
It.
Ron Weinmiller, who's the coach of the Benton Rangers. Now, I'm a dummy that talks a lot of history with basketball, so Benton's important to me because there's a Naismith Hall of Famer from there by the name of Doug Collins, who played high school basketball there, and then one of the Heron brothers, a legendary coach. And we asked Coach Weinmiller about Doug Collins, who, of course, starred at Illinois State. Everyone knows his pedigree being an Olympian and coaching in the NBA, but awesome that he comes from a small town. So we get into that. And you can kind of lead up to that when we talk about basketball talent this year and basketball teams kind of in the, I would say, the southern third of the state when you talk about ranked teams and just following. It's bananas with how many good teams there are and the potential of a regional, again, a regional championship game on Friday night. Yeah. One of these teams will not be playing after Friday night. So you want to talk about kind of the talent level that's in the regional complex, the subsectional complex, the sectional complex in that part of the state.
So, yeah, down at the Carterville 2A sectional, the top four ranked teams in the final AP poll in boys basketball and 2A feed into that sectional. So that's being number one Althoff, number two Pinckneyville, number three Benton, and number four Breeze Central. And speaking more specifically about the regional, which is hosted by Chester, so Althoff and Pinckneyville are in the same regional. So they're the number one and number two ranked teams in the state in the final Associated Press rankings, and they would meet in the regional championship.
So one of them going home
when
after next Friday.
When is the last time that has happened? I mean, that's the round of 64. There are 64 teams alive at that round, and the top two teams ranked in the state are playing. Crazy. And then, like, there's another regional down there where Breeze Central and Columbia are both in the same regional, so they'll play for a regional title. Wow. One of those teams will go home. One of the quarterfinal games at that regional, the Carlisle regional, is Nashville 19-9 against Breeze Modern Day 21-9. And of the six-team regional at Carlisle, is it Westglen out of Trenton, yeah, Illinois? They're the bottom seed, the lowest seed, and they are a 20-win team.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, and then...
And so, then also a part of that is Benton, that they would play at the Hamilton County Regional in McLeansboro, which is where Coach Weinmiller's from. So, yeah, we're talking with him about all of that stuff. Now, we recorded the interview yesterday, so it's before Benton played Pinckneyville last night, number two versus number three in the state for a third time, and Pinckneyville won that game by 1 point, 56-55. Benton missed a shot at the buzzer to win it, so they've played three times. Pinckneyville's won two of the three matchups over Benton, who was a state finalist last year, finished second in the state in Class 2A, lost to Phillips in the state championship game. So we don't get any reaction from that, but it's more just kind of a general talk about, like, basketball down there, what the postseason path is like, and just kind of the wars that are going to be played, you know, and beginning basically in the regional semifinal round, really, with, you know, really good teams playing really good teams basically from, you know, I mean, really Monday on down there with some of those games we talked about.
Well, and he does, we ask him about what's your observations, what do you know about basketball in this area, and he's pretty astute, like, yeah, most basketball junkies are. But so when you talk, so Benton and Pinckneyville then, right, they could meet a fourth time this year. They would they play in the sectional or not?
They would play in the sectional championship round if they both got there.
So two of the three games they've played have come down to the final play, right? Because
yes.
The one was a crazy tournament finish over the holidays.
Yeah.
And then the game.
There was like a weird foul on a three-pointer at the end. I think that was the game Benton won.
But if you watch there's a one of the social medias is called like Southern Illinois Sports or something like that, and the crazy crowds at some of these games and just the wacky endings and like I said, so there's that talent and just kind of getting into that storyline and you know, for whatever reason, the Althoff storyline in basketball is not getting nearly the attention that it got in football, but I think the margins of victory in basketball have been a little bit closer than football. But maybe you'll hear some of that potentially after next Friday if you have a team that loses to Althoff in a regional championship game that's had such a wonderful year, but it comes to an end. Can you imagine the crowd of that thing on next Friday night?
I can't wait to see. I'm really interested in what Althoff's postseason run looks like in basketball after all the, you know, noise that was made about them in the football playoffs just rolling through 1A and winning the state title. Their basketball postseason run is super interesting to me. I'm going to be following them very closely to see what they do and see if there's any sort of like reaction. If Althoff comes out of that sectional complex with the win, with all those great, you know, public schools and the heritage down there, it'll be interesting to see what the reaction is, I guess.
Yeah. And like I said, a fun conversation coming up with Coach Weinmiller, who started his career, because when I called him, I said, well, you got an 815 area code for, restarted his career, coaching up in the Foreston, area in NUIC territory now in the southern, part of the state. And you mentioned McLeansboro. He went to school with Brian Sloan, a great, class 1A player from back in two class basketball went. But like I said, a lot of great stories evolving in the boys basketball postseason that starts Monday, and a fun conversation with Coach Weinmiller. And it was awesome. I think he's pretty excited to come on the air and you know, talk some hoop in this part of the state.
It was great to have him on. He was a great guest. So we have that coming up next on SportsLine. Want to go to break now?
All right. Dale Jones, Auctioneer Studio, downtown Aledo. I do want to get this tag on one more time because I know it's great to have Mr. Dale Jones, Auctioneer Studio with us. I got that text here. Again, Dale Jones conducting an inspection day for the Jason and Beth Flickinger machinery auction today from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., just a short distance south of, say it together, everyone, Buffalo Prairie, Illinois. That online auction closes Monday, March the 3rd. Again, we're in the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studio, downtown Aledo. It's the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning. Ty
if
Taylor.
You have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi. I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
step into style and comfort at 6140 Run in Galesburg. If you need new footwear, 6140 Run has just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Whether you're hitting the trails, taking a stroll, or just kicking back, 6140 Run has you covered. Stop by their location at 185 Main Street in Galesburg and find your perfect pair today.
Gearing up for America's original March Madness as boys basketball regional play starting next week. And let's head down to the southern portion of the state where there are, I don't know how many crazy good teams down in that part of the state. We get a chance to visit with Ron Weinmiller, head coach of the Rangers of Benton High School. Good to have you on the airwaves talking some hoop. Tell me, how many good teams are there in southern Illinois this year? Holy smokes, looks like a whole bunch.
There really are. Yeah, there's a lot of really good teams, and seems like every night you're playing somebody that's, quote, state-ranked in some kind of poll or another. And, you got to be ready to play good basketball every night. Even the teams that probably are hovering around 500, man, there's some really good teams there in that bunch as well that kind of doesn't get talked about as much because the ones at the top are kind of choking them out a little bit.
Well, great year last year for you, of course, a state qualifier, and I know one of the top 2A players in the state, and Dr. Tedeschi, that plays for you. I'm assuming very big expectations for your club here in 2024, 2025. I know I've seen some, like, social media posts of the crowds in your part of the state. Holy smokes, people come out to those games.
Yeah, we've been really blessed this year. We've had some really nice crowds, and a lot of people want to come. When we travel on the road, we'll get people from other towns that maybe don't even, not even a place that we're playing, that want to see Doc play because they've heard about him. They want to see him play in person. And so I think that's increased our crowds. We have a good team. This is the typical, these guys have played together since the fifth grade. I mean, we start 4 seniors and bring a senior off the bench. And so these guys have all played together. They really do like each other. They know what each other can do, and they kind of all know exactly what their role's got to be.
All right. Before we start talking about this season and kind of what lies ahead, I'm just curious, can you speak to kind of the basketball heritage in Benton for those people in this part of the state that don't know? You know, you have a Naismith Hall of Famer that was born and raised there, Doug Collins, who played at Illinois State University. I think it's always cool when you have the small town kids, because I know Jack Sikma, who grew up in rural Kankakee County in Wichert, I think just a couple of years ago, another small town kid that's in the Naismith Hall of Fame. I know they had a big celebration for Doug Collins at ISU this year. Now, I'm just curious, does he come back to Benton that often?
Occasionally. You know, his parents have both passed now. And then he's got Chris in Chicago, and he's got another child that lives, a daughter that lives in the Philadelphia area. So he doesn't really come back as much as what he did when his mother was still living. But we had a great opportunity before, the day before the regional last year, we arranged it. He zoomed in and talked to our kids. And really, he got on the bandwagon as much as anybody. After every game, I'd get a text and say, way to go, coach. I just watched from Phoenix or from Chicago or wherever he was. And so he really got behind last year's team. And I'll occasionally get a text from him after we win a big game this year. And he will tell you he's a Ranger through and through, and he would not have been able to accomplish any of those other things had it not been for what he did at Benton High School.
Yeah, and that's great to hear that, and I'm glad he communicated with the kids. And I know the legacy of the Heron brothers down in Benton too. And I know I always kind of circle back to, you know, kind of the old man where, like, Chuck Rolinski, before he passed away with the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association, he'd always get mad and say, kids skateboard too much and they don't know enough about the history of the game. And, you know, we hear about, you know, today people say too much iPad stuff. But so kids understand that down there is what you're saying. They know the importance of culture and tradition and heritage with, you know, the likes of the Herons and Doug Collins.
Well, I hope that they do. You know, I was very fortunate to know Coach Walensky and before he passed. And yeah, he definitely would beat that in my head as well too. So we try to bring up Coach Heron and the things that his team have done. And I'm doing this interview from my office, and in my office from 1960 to last year's team, there's a team picture of every team from 60 on with their record and their accomplishments. So I always say Coach Heron's always looking over my shoulder because of all these team pictures that we have in here. But it's a really cool way to memorialize our history, and our kids will point out their dads and uncles and things that played. So it's really something that we try to embrace. I think sometimes when Coach Heron was so successful, maybe it's something that you kind of shy away from, but it's something we've tried to embrace the whole time that we've been here.
Yeah, Coach, and just kind of looking at the schedule you've played this year, too, I know it's something that we were talking about earlier with you, with just kind of the culture of basketball down in that area, you know, games against Goreville, multiple games against Pinckneyville. You've played Nashville a couple of times. Murfreesboro's had a great year. Williamsville played them in Riverton last weekend. So just kind of speaking about the gauntlet you've had to run throughout the regular season, what's that been like for your club trying to prepare for that, basically, you know, night and night? I think you played Meridian twos, had a great year in one end, was a state finalist. So just speak a little bit kind of about the schedule you've played this year.
Yeah, we've played a really good schedule. And, you know, I think that was the thing coming into the season. We had to replace so many guys. Of course, we had Docker coming back, and we had another starter in Grant Owens returning, but we had to replace everybody else, and everybody was kind of trying to figure out where they fit in and where we needed them to do. And so I was a little worried about that schedule when I really sat down and looked at it in about October. But our guys have done a really good job of taking it one game at a time. I think going to Goreville, we've gone to the Goreville tournament for probably the last 10 years, and it really has prepared us. I mean, that's a tough place to play. When you go down there and play Goreville, it's not a huge gym. They're right on top of you. They don't lose a lot of games there. And then be able to get in and really win in our Christmas tournament. We beat Murfreesboro in the semifinals and then beat Pinckneyville in a crazy game in the championship. I think that also gave our kids a lot of credit or a lot of confidence moving forward into January.
Well, and with that, of course, you know, and what I wanted to really talk to you about is just kind of what the postseason path looks like for you, where we touched on all the, you know, great teams you've played there. Well, it's going to take, you know, beating a lot of really great teams basically from start to finish for you to get back to state. The thing that maybe people in our area don't know, if they haven't looked around the state at some of the pairings, now the Carterville sectional, which is what Benton would feed into if they're able to win a regional, is where the top four ranked teams in the final AP poll of the state feed in to that sectional too, where you're talking about Althoff number one, Pinckneyville number two, Benton number three, Breeze Central number four, with some really good other teams, you know, mixed in there as well, like Nashville, you know, Breeze Modern Day, Murfreesboro, who we mentioned earlier too. So, I mean, looking at that, what's kind of the outlook for you at potentially what you could see in Carterville at the sectional, where you're talking about maybe, you know, both semifinal games and the sectional championship game being like a state final caliber of matchup?
Yeah, it's kind of unnerving when you sit down and really look at it. And we have to go to McLeansboro and probably beat a Carmine team who's got a kid named Mitchell Edwards, who's their all-time leading scorer in the first game. I mean, they got a really nice team. They've been hurt most of the year. And then we'll probably, if we were able to get through that one, beat a good Carterville team that we've been able to beat twice, but have not beaten badly by any stretch of the imagination. And then whoever comes out of that regional, man, that Carlisle regional, I know everybody starts talking about Columbia and Breeze Central being the two seeded teams, but Carlisle's really good. I mean, they're really good. And that's at Carlisle. So, and then Nashville's playing their best basketball. They beat us in Pinckneyville all within a week. So they're playing good. I mean, that honestly, is probably, I mean, Trenton Westland's won 20 games and they're the last seed in it. So that's the best regional in the state. I don't even think that you could debate it, because people like to do that, but we're not in it. So I think I can safely say that's the best regional in the state from 1 to 6. And then of course you got Pinckneyville and Althoff that are going to play in the championship more than likely of that regional. And then Murfreesboro and a really good Harrisburg team whose best player is now getting back healthy again. They got off to a really good start and kind of sputtered a little bit without him, but now he's back. So yeah, it'll be interesting. And you know, I've always said, I feel like what people don't get from four class basketball of what we had in the old 1A, 2A system was your regional final is now a sectional semifinal game. Everything has just moved up a game, you know? So when you get to that sectional final game, that's an old super sectional. I mean, so you got to realize that, and you got to know you're going to play a really, really good team, and there's going to be eight good teams playing a week from Friday in the regional finals that feed into that Cartersville sectional.
Yeah, well, there's been some talk, I think, in the past couple of years looking at how the postseason is drawn up and the path for it in high school basketball in the state of Illinois, where it's currently the subsectional complex where the subsectional basically splits into two regionals, and then there's two separate subsectionals that feed into what the sectional is. And I think there's been some talk that maybe it's picked up a little bit of steam recently about looking at maybe would it be feasible to see, you know, the entire sectional and basically have like the higher seed play at home until you get to the sectional round through the regional round. So is that something maybe, do you think, I mean, just with the caliber of teams that you see in your sectional complex, is that something maybe you'd like to see explored, or do you think the current setup is good?
Well, I know, and in your area too, Ty, I know you have a lot of travel when you start looking at the far extreme from one to the other in those subsectionals. I mean, you would be talking about here going from Massac County all the way to Wood River and Columbia. I mean, that's a hike. I think what is more feasible is to take the subsectionals as they have them now and don't worry about geography. So if you're the 5 seed, you're going to play the 12 seed. And if you're the 4 seed, you're going to play the 13 or whatever. The one's going to get the winner of the 8-9. I don't understand why we then go and split it again. You know, you're kind of splitting geography twice there because you've divided them all up in a subsectional. Nobody's got a crazy long trip in those. So I think that's probably the next step that we will see is, hey, we're going to play this by straight seed and then kind of go from there. But as far as like they do in the 4A, some of the 4A subsectionals, we just have so much travel that I don't know if that's on a Monday night. And I know it's crazy to say Massac going to Columbia or vice versa, but I think you could really set up for some long bus trips for some teams that are playing in a regional quarterfinal game.
I would agree with the true seeding with the subsectional. I never really understood why they couldn't just go true seed. So you mentioned our part of the state. Now, I know you're a basketball junkie. And I know back in the day, little easier. Now I'll say now in today's environment, it's easier, right, to watch games, video wise through the stream. But you know, back in the day where you saw the prevalence of, you know, daily newspapers when they were a big thing and beat writers, it was easy kind of to get box scores and look at stuff like that. How much do you know about, you know, the teams that have got the most recognition in our part of the state have been Rock Ridge, of course, with the run they've been on and the schedule they play. And then Sherrard is really getting a lot of attention this year. We were hoping, you know, I wanted to see a Benton-Rock Ridge game at that Riverton shootout. Didn't happen. How much do you know about Rock Ridge and Sherrard or basketball in this area?
Well, you wanted that. I did not, because I've seen Landon Bull play on top. I thought he would break our dudes in half. Because, yeah, I had the Rock Ridge Central tape from last year from the Riverton shootout and watched that. And, you know, it's one of those things that I've never been to the Riverton shootout since we've been here. We've had a couple teams that I felt like could compete, but it didn't work out schedule wise. So this year, we kind of reached out to each other about a year ago, and to be able to go up there and play and play the quote marquee game against Williamsville, who's right down the road. It was awesome. Sign me up every year. When we have a team that can compete at that, I would love to play in that, but to see the different styles of basketball and to then see what, you know, Rock Ridge does in their game and then to see Pleasant Plains, play EPG, who had just come down and played in our shootout the week before. So yeah, I think there's what people don't get, and everybody at this time of year wants to say, well, I can't wait to see Team A play Team B in the sectional final. Well, a lot of times that doesn't happen. You know, it takes a lot of luck to get to that sectional final, and it's all about matchups. I'll give you a great example. Last year, Carterville scores on at the buzzer to beat Murfreesboro in the regional final. We matched up with Murfreesboro terribly. We had beaten them, but I wanted no part of them in the regional final, and it really opened up our path to be able to get to the state tournament. So a lot of times it takes some luck, and that one team that you just really don't match up with very well, getting knocked out before you have to play them, and that kind of opens up your path a little bit. So that's what's going to happen. You know, I think Williamsville was the team last year. No one expected to be there. So there's probably going to be some team that goes on a run and gets hot that's playing in a sectional final in a couple weeks from today that nobody's really expecting to be there. And that's kind of the fun thing to follow this time of the year.
And the only thing I'll say, and Ty referenced the amount of talent that is prevalent in Southern Illinois basketball and the path that you're going to have to travel to get back to Champaign is so impressive. And the one thing that I always defend, especially boys basketball, that I always love the beauty and the agony of the sport, is it takes maybe a 4-minute stretch and you can be having this magical season, right? And if you play bad for maybe a 4-minute stretch at the wrong time, the season's over. And I reflect back to the best team I've ever seen in my 35 years had basically a bad quarter, and that was Ethan Happ's year at Rock Ridge, and they didn't get to state. And that's why, because they played a team at the right time that put a great game plan together and got hot at the right time and beat them. And that's, like I said, the beauty and the agony. And I look at kind of, you know, your path, and not only your path, but the teams that are in that area. And I think the journey you have to take, it's always amazing because you can't sit back and enjoy it when it's happening, because you have to worry about if you win, man, who do I have to play, you know, 2 days later? And that's the thing that's so intriguing about postseason basketball. And I look at your area of the state this year, man, the games that are going to be played. Holy smokes.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, it was a blessing to us, and I didn't realize it at the time, but playing on Wednesday in the sectional, I was really freaked out about that because I'm like, now we only got one day, you know, less rest, blah, 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 all that stuff. But I felt like our guys came in on Thursday and they knew that, and they were super, super locked in and to prepare. I mean, look at Bree Central. They've probably had, if not the best team, one of the best teams in the state the last 3 years, and can't get out of the sectional. 2 years ago, they have to go to Pinckneyville and beat Pinckneyville at Pinckneyville. Last year, they have to come to Benton and beat Benton at Benton. And, you know, you just never know what kind of luck and those things are going to happen. And I think if they beat us, you know, and you talk about a bad quarter, we have our third leading scorer turn his ankle in the first half of the state semifinal. You know, don't think what if doesn't go through my mind a lot of what happens if he's able to play in the state championship game. So it takes some luck, but you also got to have a good team. You know, you got to have a good team to be able to navigate the route, just like in any part of the state. Certain parts are probably maybe not as tough as others till you get deeper in the tournament. But I think any of the four teams that advance to the sectional at Carterville have got a chance to win the sectional and then advance on and do really well at the state tournament. But, you know, Tolono Unity's got a really good team, and that's probably them or St. Joe or T-Town are probably going to be waiting for whoever comes out in the super, and that's not an easy game either. So, you know, you're going to have to be on your A game one more time when you get to that point.
And I'm just curious too, when you talk about having, you know, a team like you have this year where there's really high expectations and there's been a ton of success, where I know throughout the season you have to juggle like what's in front of you, but also what potentially could be down the line, where you're trying to maybe gather some stuff on teams you potentially could run into, maybe in a sectional, maybe in a super sectional, maybe, you know, at the state tournament. So for you, I mean, what's the preparation like for maybe, because I know you don't want to look past anybody per se, but I think you still have to do some like pre-homework on who potentially you could run into. So like throughout the season this year and last year, where you know you have a team that potentially could make a really special run if things go right, How do you kind of handle all of that together?
Well, I think you keep an eye on those teams, you know, maybe not necessarily to the point that you're watching them a lot and scouting them, but, you know, I told this story last year before the state tournament. Quinn Virgil was my assistant at Forreston, who's now an assistant at Byron. And they had played on a couple random Wednesdays. One game I remember is they played Pecatonica, and he texted me. He's like, hey, this would be a good game night. You ought to watch it. I'd probably watch Byron play three or four times, and then we get to the state semifinals and we play each other. So I think you're constantly just keeping an eye on those other teams. You know, are they playing well? Are they healthy? Do they have guys hurt? Hey, I saw they got beat the other night. Well, three guys had the flu. You know, you just kind of, and I'm sure they're doing the same with us. So you're not really digging into them, but at the same time, you're keeping an eye on them, kind of making, seeing what are they successful with? What do they struggle with and those kind of things.
And then just one other thing I wanted to say, talking about, you know, the season you had last year at Benton. I always tell people, for me, like covering interscholastic athletics and high school sports, my favorite time of the year, and I think the best thing about it, is the boys basketball postseason. I just think there's something so special about packed gyms in Illinois when you get down, like you said, to the regional round, the sectional round, where there's these big crowds locally, and then you get to the state stage. It's really special too, I think, with it now being played at the University of Illinois at the State Farm Center. So just getting to, you know, be on that run last year where you go on this, you know, postseason push, you end up getting all the way to the state championship game. I mean, how fun was that? What did you kind of take away from the experience of being on that really special run you got to go on last season?
Well, I grew up in McLeansboro. You know, and when I was in the second grade, they won the state championship with Brian Sloan and that team. They went undefeated, went 35-0, and every little kid from eighth grade to kindergarten, that was their dream to go back. My junior year, we were ranked in the top five all year, got beat by Tyrone Nesby in the sectional final. And then, you know, I'd been close a couple times as an assistant, to making it to the state tournament, but it never worked out for one reason or another. And, you know, you start to wonder, is it ever going to happen? So to be able to do it, for me personally was something I had dreamed about since I was a little kid. And it's something that I will never forget. You know, I'll never ever forget walking through that tunnel and seeing the bright lights and seeing our team compete on that stage. So, it's something that to be able to do it with the team that we had last year and the guys on that we have on staff, it's just something that I'll never ever forget. And my kids were 12 and 9. So they were at a cool age where they'll remember it forever. So it's one of those things that as a family, we'll never ever forget.
So, I don't think it gets near the attention that it did during the high school football season, but I'm just curious how, you know, tell me how good Belleville Altoff is. They must be really good if they, you know, the recognition they're receiving. But, and I don't know if it's just because basketball attention is a little bit different than football attention. I'm not going to get into this whole public-private debate right now, but I mean, you know, a team that is segued from such great success in high school football, be it at the 1A level, and now the basketball season they're having. So have you had a chance to see them play in person? I mean, they must be really good in basketball too.
Yeah, they are really good. I mean, you know, anytime you got a kid that has the athleticism that De'Aaron Hill's got, who's going to go play football at Oregon, I mean, that's a pretty good start. And they've got two other Division I football players on that team too. So they have high-level athletes, you know. So it's one of those things that they've taken that and then made it really – and Hill was offered by Missouri in basketball. So he's a high-level basketball player too, you know. I think it kind of gets overshadowed that he's going to Oregon to play football, but he's a high-level basketball player too. And you know, they got to beat a really, really good Pinckneyville team in the regional final probably. So, that'll be the first time they kind of run up against a buzzsaw too.
All right, Coach Ron Weinmiller, man, what a time of year. And I know really in that part of the state with all the good teams and the postseason getting set to start, next week. Always great to run into you. We crossed paths, I know, last year at the state tournament, a basketball junkie, and I forgot, you know, you said that the path that you're on, I forgot you were at Foreston. So NUIC, Northwest Upstate Illini territory. So it's great to hear, that connection. And then Byron, we saw them, during the holiday season. They played at the Sherrard tournament. I tell you, by the way, Byron, man, I tell you, they're going to be loaded next year. They're predominantly underclassmen. They have a really good team. So I think they're going to be back in the hopper and a force to be reckoned with even this year in the postseason. They have a good team, but we're glad you could come on the air and kind of give us a taste of what's going on in, Southern Illinois. And let's hope maybe one of our local teams is playing Benton here in the last day of the season. That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
That would be great. That'd be great. I appreciate you guys reaching out. Ty, thanks for reaching out. And then you said your dad was going to be on here. I'm like, man, two legends, not just one. So yeah, I'm appreciative that you guys reached out and happy to do it for you.
All right.
Thank you, Coach. I'm the first time I've ever been called a legend. So I guess I'll maybe save this interview.
All right.
There you go.
Coach, good luck to you during thanks, the postseason, guys. And we'll see you down the road.
Sounds good.
And you're listening to WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi. I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands of the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it. Because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Step into style and comfort at 6140 Run in Galesburg. If you need new footwear, 6140 Run has just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Whether you're hitting the trails, taking a stroll, or just kicking back, 6140 Run has you covered. Stop by their location at 185 Main Street in Galesburg and find your perfect pair today.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline program from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studio in downtown Aledo. That was a fun interview with Coach Ron Weinmiller from the Benton Rangers. I like their warm-ups when I've seen them play on the highlights. They have the pinstripe or the candy stripe, maroon and white warm-ups when they
were fun to watch last year down the state, too.
Yeah. And what a wild week of basketball it's going to be in Southern Illinois this week, and what a wild week of basketball it's going to be in Western Illinois this week. I know I'll have the privilege of covering the Rock Ridge Rockets all this week in Macomb. You'll be in Aledo Monday, mm-hmm. Wednesday, and Friday nights for the Mercer County Regional.
Hopefully Friday too, right?
Yeah.
As long as there's nothing funky happens. So this week our broadcast schedule for
You're saying the potential of an Ollam and Kewaunee regional championship.
Yeah, let's hope that doesn't happen, right? Or Monmouth Roseville, too. So our broadcast schedule this week, Monday, we have boys basketball regional quarterfinal game for Aledo. Mercer County hosts Ollam. It's about a 6 o'clock tip. Pregame coverage will be somewhere between 5:30 and 5:40, I think. Then Wednesday, we have coverage from both Aledo and Macomb, both regional semifinal games from Aledo. We'll be on the air with a Sherrard playing either Mercer County or Ollam. Sherrard playing either Monmouth Roseville or Kewaunee in the first game. The second game is
Orion versus Mercer County or Olivan. Hopefully Mercer County in that game, right? And then Wednesday we'll also have Rock Ridge against either Farmington or Knoxville on Wednesday night. Friday night regional championship coverage. Hopefully we have Sherrard against either Mercer County or Orion, and Rock Ridge against either Macomb or Canton, right? That's what we're hoping for. Those would be the perfect results for us all week.
And I think about Aledo hosting the regional site.
That's a great site for regional because I love the like how loud it is in that gym. It's an awesome gym. I love what they've done with the floor, and should be fun. Mercer County will have great crowds, of course. Sherrard will, Orion will too. And like you said, if Monmouth Rose will able to advance through the quarterfinal round, they should bring a big house too. So it should be fun. I mean, I'm really looking forward. I really like when, and we talked about this, you know, earlier with the whole track thing, like, I just like when Mercer County gets to be a part of those type of things with those schools too. And I tell people all the time that gym just looks so much better with those track banners in there with all the local schools too. It just is, it's got such a facelift, I feel like, in the past year with just the vibes of being with all the local schools again. And I'm excited they get to host the regional.
Well, and then I'll just speak historically with that gym hosting regionals. I know two of the three regionals that have been hosted there since the early 90s. There's been a hugely wacky thing that's happened in two of the three. The one was the Pat Lower shot against Westmer. The second one, so I say the three best postseason games I've been a part of broadcasting was one, Sherrard Olliman at Olliman. Close second, Pat Lower shot against Westmer. A very close tie for second is the year Aledo barely beat Alexis. That's when all regional games were played in the same location. Barely won a quarterfinal game over Alexis. Probably should have lost. And then beat 29-0 or whatever number two ranked Yorkwood that was unbeaten down at Aledo High School. Then Rock Ridge beat Aledo in the regional championship game that year. And then the other year, the last year Aledo hosted a regional, or it was Mercer County at the time, was the Pat Rangel was his last win at Olliman, and then they fired him that year because they said the basketball team should be better than it is. Wow. Yeah, look what happened then.
Be careful what you wish yeah. for.
And that was the year they beat Rock Ridge in the regional championship game as Gentry Whiteman and Carson Frakes were seniors for Rock Ridge that year. And there was another regional in Mercer County.
Let me stop you there. I just so I can reiterate this, and I just want to make sure everybody hears this. When in terms of like when you get mad at coaches, they fired Pat Rangel because they wanted Olliman to be more competitive after they beat a Rock Ridge team that had Gentry Whiteman and Carson Frakes on it. That was the state runner up the year before.
And the way they did it was absolutely terrible too. Yeah. And they get
happened.
What they deserve.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
One of the greatest people that ever walked in the halls of that school as a graduate of Olliman, and they did that. To him. And then the only other regional, there was one other regional at Aledo or Mercer County, and that's when the Olliman bus got lost and the kids couldn't shoot in the three-point shootout, and they wound up in Millersburg, one of my favorite stories. Bob Zork was the head coach of Olliman at that time. But anyway, there's always wacky stuff, so be prepared.
I'd love to know.
And Alex Johnson is probably like, great, thanks for telling me that today. That all of this
Why
stuff.
How did they end up in Millersburg?
Nobody knows.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. How in the world?
True story.